Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Members of the RTE Executive and the RTE Board have appeared before the Dáil Public Accounts Committee again today in the wake of the payments controversy at the broadcaster. RTE Director General Kevin Backhurst told the committee that Ryan Tuberty is currently not being paid by the station until a new contract is agreed. I'm joined for more on this now by Fianna Fáil TD and member of the PAC Paul McAuliffe and Ireland editor of the Irish Independent Fionnán Sheehan, who joins me in studio. You're both very welcome to the programme. I might come to you, Paul McAuliffe, first of all, because it was touchy enough at times today, I thought. Still an awful lot of questions remain, I think, for the committee. I got the general sense, Paul, you correct me if I'm wrong, that the committee is losing a little bit of patience, I think, but and questions, big questions still remain.
I think, Cormac, it's many members of the committee felt like they were coming into a meeting today where we were kind of fleshing out details that had already been well explored, that it was going to be a meeting where we could clarify things. And yet, 15 minutes before the meeting starts, we're handed a new updated opening statement from Adrian Lynch, which had very significant pushback against both Mr. Tuberty and Mr. Kelly, and the assertions that the issue to underwrite was widely known, that somehow the agreement with the commercial agreement at Renault was separate from the overall contract negotiations. So sort of set the tone for the meeting. I think the absence of a number of key witnesses, Miss O'Keefe and Miss O'Leary, was also caused a lot of anxiety on behalf of the members, because there were key questions that only they could answer.
But on some of those key questions, in fairness, Brede O'Keefe was texting the people there who could give evidence.
Well, I think that was almost the most dramatic moment.
Explain that to people.
Yeah, well, Miss O'Keefe had said that she was unavailable. It should be noted that she hadn't come before the Public Accounts Committee at all. She had come before the Media Committee. And there's very clear remit differences between the two, although I'm not sure Miss O'Keefe understood that.
She was praised for her evidence at the Media Committee, wasn't she?
Yeah, and she, you know, I think she gave quite a convincing performance at it. But after Mr. Kelly and Mr. Tuberty's documentary evidence, which included emails from Miss O'Keefe, there certainly were huge questions. And Miss O'Keefe didn't come before the Public Accounts Committee today, but it appeared she was tuning in like many other people. And at one point, Mr. Lynch, and I'm not certain whether she was supporting or correcting one of the points he made, he said he had received a text from Miss O'Keefe and proceeded to try and read that into the record, much to the objection of many people in the room, including myself. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't appropriate to have secondhand information via text from a witness that hadn't agreed to come before the committee.
Will you compel Brede O'Keefe to appear before the committee? By the way, we did invite Brede O'Keefe to appear in the show as well. She's welcome to text this programme as well, Breda, 51551 if you wish to do so, or anyone else as well. Will you compel those? There was others as well, Paul. Moya Doherty, who said she wouldn't be reappearing.
Yeah, look, there's a number of key witnesses, and I suppose the issue that the committee would have to make now, the decision we'd have to make is, can we start to draw conclusions without those key people coming before us, or will we require them and will we have to go to the point of compelling them?
Yeah.
The committee made a decision today that our next meeting will be with RTE, a public hearing will be the 12th of October, although we will consider the matter before that. We're going to wait and get a copy of the forensic accounting. There's huge documentation which we're going to start putting a timeline together.
Yeah.
And I think at that point... Let me
ring in our esteemed colleague here who's been looking at this in great detail, I think, Fionnán, for the last while. How in the name of God could they draw any conclusions? Firstly, without hearing from key witnesses like the former Director General, who's out with ill health, Dee Forbes, and equally out with ill health, Director Jim Jennings of RTE. You can't, surely, without listening to those.
Yeah, you have to assume at this point that anybody who hasn't appeared isn't going to appear. And the committee has been quite frustrated in terms of the documentation that it has been provided with. For example, there is absolutely no reason whatsoever why RTE could not have provided the documentation that Noel Kelly had the other day, because it was a two-way process. There was a statement issued from the RTE executive 2 weeks ago. This came after the board statement, which set out a lot of these issues already. There was no reason they couldn't have provided the
Kevin
emails
Backer
at that
said
point.
Today that they're being deluged with requests for data and information.
That's great,
and records.
But so
that's
if you're able to set it out in a statement, that means you've got the information to hand. So there's nothing stopping you from putting that into the photocopier and providing it to an Oireachtas committee who, let's recall, the Oireachtas has been misled by RTE for the past 6 years on the payments of the top 10 and more or less the top one over the course of that period. So yeah, RTE are fierce busy altogether, but they've known about this issue coming down the track since March the 7th.
What was standout for you today then?
A couple of elements. Obviously now it's widened even further because we now have this evening another external review of RTE's voluntary exit schemes in 2017 and 2021. So that's another route that they've gone down. There'll be consultants and accountants presenting these shows next because there's so many that are going to be coming in here.
They're basically saying, and this is on foot of various questions and scrutiny of the committee, people who left RTE, and I'm guessing people who, not just run-of-the-mill staff.
No, it's senior level,
So senior staff who left RTE and received redundancy or exit packages over the last number of years, those packages and the validity of them is going to be scrutinised, isn't it?
Yeah, because in Breed O'Keefe's case, she was the chief financial officer. She was replaced as the chief financial officer. Normally in such a redundancy scheme, either the role is made redundant or the role is substantially changed. Now, what we now know is, obviously, Richard Collins, the chief financial officer, who is still the chief financial officer, despite all that's going on at the moment, he has said he's still in that role. So there was no substantial change there. So was she given redundancy her role stayed in place?
Just to be fair, we don't know if a role was suppressed somewhere that could balance
or role may have been suppressed.
We don't know the detail of it.
But that's what now has to be clarified. You basically have Richard Collins, the CFO, saying he didn't know anything about this, and Adrian Lynch, who was on the executive team at that time, saying that the executive didn't sign off on it, and that would be the norm. So this point was raised by a number of TDs, including Alan Kelly of the Labour Party, who ultimately asked for an investigation, and Kevin Backhurst has now announced an external review, and it'll particularly look at cases at the higher end.
You were perplexed, Paul McAuliffe, about, if memory serves me correctly, the question of underwriting, and if the underwriting was the RTE narrative basically, and their position even today, is that the underwriting wasn't undertaken, so to speak, until it was verbally given by Dee Forbes. But obviously, the email provided by Noel Kelly and Ryan Troubity, you want more made of that.
Yeah, look, I think there's two areas that I think still need to be questioned. One is RTE were clinging to their defence that the underwriting of this contract was the key sin here. And they were certainly laying that at the door of Miss Forbes. But it was very clear that the RTE solicitor who was present with Miss Forbes at that time, and therefore the RTE legal department, were aware of this as early as May 7th, 2020. So I think it's a very difficult defence for RTE to say that the underwriting was the key problem, and yet they knew about it going back as far as 2020. I think the second thing that really has a lot of questions is Mr. Kelly's awareness of who was paying the second two invoices. RTE were pushing back saying that it was very clear that Renault were no longer on the pitch, and yet Mr. Kelly was pursuing those payments. And Mr. Kelly's evidence was that he wasn't aware in any way that when he billed Astus, that was actually RTE paying him. He said he thought it might have been Renault or Astus. He wasn't sure. And I think that's an area where there's still a lot of questions. Mm-hmm.
Where is all this going, I wonder, Fionnán, in terms of how do we rebuild trust in public service broadcasting and the serious risk of job cuts and pay cuts in RTE as well if revenue sources dry up, which they could very easily dry up, even though
that things were holding up both in terms of licence fee payment and also in terms on the commercial revenue. So, I mean, they would have been, on post would be able to flag over the last 3 weeks, has there been a substantial drop-off in licence fees year on year? And likewise, the RTE advertising department would know if commercial contracts were being cancelled or weren't being renewed. So there's been no impact there. The wider financial issue still remains. I mean, for all this debate around ultimately a pocket of money of 345 grand, the bigger concerns for RTE and its financial future still remain in place. Now, what we are where we are also at is that we've an ever-lengthening series of investigations, reviews and reports going on into RTE. And that's all going to take quite some time. So we're not going to have decisions on the future of the organisation for quite some time. What we will have in the meantime, I suppose, is a decision on whether Ryan Tuberty is returning here. And there was kind of mixed news in that front. Now, today there did seem to be a kind of an olive branch put out by Kevin Backer suggesting that the 150 grand should be returned.
Did he say when that decision would be made?
He indicated by the end of the month. So he said, you know, it's not going to be in the next couple of days. They do, to be fair to Ryan Tuberty, they do have to wait on this famous Grant Thornton number 2 report to come back, which we are noticing, if you're watching what members of the board are saying, there seems to be a backing off now, or a toning down at the very least, of the quite strong language that was included in that first statement from the board. They're now accepting that there was no additional 120 grand paid. And what this is now looking like is, yes, there was very definitely a concealment of payments to counterbalance a pay cut from 2020 to 2022. But from 2017 to 2019, this was an accounting paper exercise that was done in the RTE finance department through no fault of Ryan Tuberty's.
Yeah.
So we're still awaiting that report to come back to clarify all that.
In fairness to Ryan Tuberty, Paul McAuliffe, the main criticism of him at the committee on Tuesday was that he didn't say that the salary declared was wrong. And he went time and again for years without saying it, without calling it out.
Yeah, and I think Mr. Tuberty said that. But what wasn't accepted by Mr. Tuberty or Mr. Kelly was that this deal, the tri-party agreement with Renault,
was separate.
It was separate. Mm-hmm. It was created by RTE. It was created to provide Mr. Tuberty with additional income. And the really alarming thing is that if Renault had continued to pay the 75,000 each year, none of us would ever have found out about it.
He also insists that 20% of a pay cut was taken, and that was contested vehemently by committee members. Do you think he can come back?
I think there's, if I'm honest, I think there's a lot of good feeling for Mr. Tuberty out there, and I've been getting that in feedback from people. But also, I think people want to know that he can trust the presenters that they have on air. I think the decision by Mr. Backhurst to have a register of interest, to end the slush fund, to end the use of agents, will all be positive steps. But I still think that until we get to the bottom of all of this, and it's unfortunate after 3 weeks, we're still getting fresh information.
That he can't come back until we get to the bottom of it.
I really think he can't. And also,
well, sure, that could take months and months.
There's 150,000 euro in Ryan Tuberty's account that should be in RTE's account. There isn't 6 events for him to do.
Are you saying that needs to be paid back before he can come back?
Well, Mr. Tuberty said he would.
An awful lot of conditions here.
Mr. Tuberty said he would pay it back if that was required. But he equally said he wasn't sure who he could pay it back to. And Fiona, I heard the other night, giving a really good summation of that kind of cul-de-sac that Mr. Tuberty is in regard to how he might give that 150 grand back.
Yeah.
He could put it in escrow now, you know, until it's resolved.
Yeah,
like the Apple tax, you know, top it up in there.
I'm just going to neatly say, as a politician would say, no comment on those matters. I will ask Paul McAuliffe one other question, and briefly, Paul, if I may. Leo Varadkar of Fine Gael is speaking today about providing more funding or bailing out RTE if necessary, but that conditions would be attached. What conditions would you like attached if that were to be the case?
Well, I think whatever conditions have to be around governance, have to be around some of the conditions I talked about a register of interest and so on. But can I just say, Cormac, and I'm saying this to people in RTE, I'm saying it to people who listen to RTE every day, RTE has to continue. We have to have a public sector broadcaster.
And we all know that, sure, or hope we all know that, but in the same form.
But the difficulty is, if we don't fund RTE or we don't find a sustainable funding mechanism, then RTE will not continue. And I think that's part of the problem. The government and politicians can't just kick this can down the road, and equally we can't ignore what has happened here. Okay. So I think it's a big decision for government in September.
Can we get that in writing, Paul? I say with tongue in cheek.
No, anyway. It's all verbal agreements in RTE.
Over a Teams meeting.
Before I get myself into trouble, Paul McAuliffe of Fianna Fáil and Ireland editor with the Irish Independent. Fionnuala Sheehan, thank you both very much indeed.